Hello, I'm Martin Brown from Martin Brown's Marketing Bugle podcast, helping you market your business online. Thank you for listening. There are e-learning courses and other bonuses that you can take for free, which are associated with this series of podcasts. Visit my website, martinbrown.com, for details. That's Martin with a Y. You can also join my monthly magazine, Digital Bugle, which is downloadable every issue by subscribing to my email updates.
This month's podcast interview follows after this. This simple trick triples your output. You've only got so many hours in a day to get stuff done. Plus, you'd like to have a social life too, right? So, how do you get the most stuff done, and done well, in the least amount of time? With something called task grouping. Grouping tasks simply means spending a majority of the day, or a large chunk of time within a certain day, to do a specific kind of task. It could be creating several podcasts back to back, or answering all emails once per day rather than throughout the day, or outlining or even writing several blog posts at once. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as you can do several of it back to back. This is beneficial because instead of wasting time transitioning from one kind of task to another kind of task and having to get back into the flow state each time you switch tasks, you can get into the groove and stay there until you have several tasks accomplished. You can wake up knowing that today is the day you outline the next 3 months of blog posts, and so your head and your mental energy is in the right place for that. It allows you to get a lot more done in a short period of time. Let's say you're doing podcasting. You do 4 or 5 podcasts in one afternoon or one day, and then you can send them off together to be edited. And your podcasts are done for the month. Think of how much more you would get done if the day-to-day stuff took maybe a third or a quarter of the time it takes now. When you switch between tasks, your mind has to shift gear too. You use different thinking to do different tasks in an optimal fashion. Think of a time when you were in the zone. What happened when someone interrupted you? You lost the flow. It's the same thing every time you switch between tasks. You lose the flow. Try to pick up where you left off. You lose time figuring out where you were and what you were doing. And if you add all this up at the end of the day, you've lost not only time and productivity, but also the quality of your work has suffered too. But don't get this confused with taking breaks. Your brain needs you to take 5-minute break every hour or so it can recoup and get ready for the next burst of work. And your body will really appreciate it if you use those 5 minutes to move and get your heart beating a little faster too. To summarise, batch your work so that you are doing similar things in a bunch, like recording several podcasts in one day. Take short breaks to move and get your energy flowing. Then get right back to work. Don't allow any other interruptions other than short breaks. You'll be amazed at how much work you get done. Next, this month's expert interview. Stay tuned.
Hello, I'm Gavin McCoy, and on this edition I talk to international marketing superstar Matt Basak, who travels the world speaking, coaching, and passing on his tried and tested techniques that have earned him over $100 million. Matt tells us why making money online now is easier than ever before. As we say, welcome to Matt Basak. Matt, you've had a fantastic career in internet marketing. And if we can start with just taking the clock back a few years as to what you did before you became an internet marketer.
I'd have to go back more than a few years. what I did before as an internet marketer, I was pretty much doing it in college. So, I mean, back then, I mean, I was doing sales. I mean, I guess I had my own companies. So I've been running my own company since I was a kid, you know, and when I got started, we called it the information superhighway. So Everything that we know today wasn't existing, pretty much. There's really nothing that was around back then, when it maybe AOL, if that's even around. So there's not much. Initially, what was I doing? I was just a kid that wanted to make a lot of money. I mean, really, in my dorm room.
What was your first kind of interest in using the internet to market? How did you get that idea?
So I was going out knocking on doors and trying to get people to buy stuff, and it was a pain in the butt. So instead of me chasing people down, I figured I wanted people just to come to me. And that's kind of was the big thing. I was like, if I can just get people to come to me instead of me chasing them down, that would be a great scenario. And that kind of caused me to start looking at this internet thing and get started doing stuff.
Did you initially sell hard products, or did you go straight away for information?
Yeah, I did. I sold cassettes. Information, yes, but on cassette tapes, on VHS tapes, you know, so, you know, all of that, that was before the DVD, and now actually DVDs are going obsolete. So I'm actually seeing the next wave of things being obsolete, where stuff we were selling with information, but I was selling other people's information, not my own. And actually it was Kiyosaki stuff. I mean, right when he was getting started. So I mean, I sold books and I sold, you know, just hard stuff.
Everybody says the money is in the list. We've all got to start with one name and one small list.
Well, I think for a lot of people that are listening, I mean, just to speak to them, I think there's really two ways we could do it. One, you know, giving somebody an ethical bribe or something, you know, for free is always a great way to get people on your list. But I will say, over my years, I would always tell people that. Today, I would tell people, really, I think you have two choices. And actually, this new choice is a better choice, I would believe, for everybody. Is instead of giving something away for free, you might want to create it and make it a lower ticket product and have people opt in with their credit card so you can actually buy, so you can actually build a buyer's list. And that's going to be the best list you can ever build. You know, you could build 100,000 people or 10,000 people, you know, from 10,000 people giving away stuff for free, or you can get 1,000 people that bought something for you, even if it's a dollar. You know, that's going to be so much better than the 10,000. So, you know, so my point to a lot of people is you can go one of either route. Just realize, you know, all subscribers aren't equal, but the best buyers you can ever get are the ones that opt in with their credit card. Now, a lot of times today, you know, people will say, put an opt-in page up, drive traffic to the page, have people sign up, give them something for free. That's what I've taught forever. But today I tell people, literally, you have two routes, and it's which route do you want to go? I prefer the newer route. You know, and I didn't think about that before, but more and more I start analyzing data, more and more I start looking at things, the more and more I realize the power of somebody opting with a credit card is so much bigger than the power of somebody just looking. Because you get tire kickers, plate lickers, you know, you get all these, you know, and the thing is, you get more complaints. Somebody that gave you a credit card, now you have more, you know, even they have a bigger commitment, but also you have, you know, more backup to say, hey, look, you bought this, instead of, hey, you opted in, you know, because today people do some crazy stuff with opt-ins. But buying is a good gate to, or a good hurdle, you know, people can jump over to really prove, you know, to show you that, that one, they're interested in, two, you know, it's going to make your list more powerful than, and more responsive than anything else you could do.
So definitely the starting point for a new internet marketer is try and find something to catch people's attention.
High value, and now it's just according to how you want to price that. I mean, because, you know, there are people who sell $2,000 products for a dollar, you know? I mean, you're going to get a lot of opt-ins if you do something like that, not telling anybody to do it, but really, yeah, something of high quality, high value, you know, because the first impression is the most important thing. You know, for everybody. And if you do deliver something that's just, you know, they just paid, you know, $7 for something that's worth, you know, $500 or $100, they're like, oh my gosh, imagine what they're going to give me when I give them more money.
So the definite thing to remember is high value information, but low cost to get people hooked in. And from that, I think you can kindle a sense of indebtedness, because people think, wow, you're really generous in giving us all of this stuff for next to nothing. That sometimes opens the door for the next transaction.
Well, and the loyalty and the, you know, and the trust factor. I mean, that's a big thing too. That's one thing that's underlining with all lists that we're ever going to build, is the biggest thing is when somebody comes in, especially the first time they meet you, you know, people talk about building rapport, and that's great. But the best way to build the best rapport is to build trust. I think it's the, you know, everybody's like, oh, you want to build these relationships and build, you know, the best way to build a relationship is do what the heck you say you're going to do and do it better, you know, under promise and over deliver. You're going to build so much more trust and so much more better relationship with that people. And the other thing too, for a lot of people, because I think, you know, I've made millions, multi-millions, you know, from email. And I will say, everybody's like, oh, you know, go out and, you know, build these, you know, once somebody signs up, send out the relationship things. I think it's great. And that's a good idea. And it does make people all excited and feel good about it. But the point is, how you train your list at the beginning is how they're going to treat you in the end. So my point is, if you do let them know, hey, I'm going to give you good value stuff. You know, you're here. I'm here to give you good value stuff. You know, it's going to change your life or whatever, you know, whatever feeling you have. But at the end of the day, if you train them to give them free stuff, that's how they came in. That's how the relationship started. But if they came in with, hey, you know, I give you some money, you're going to give me something great, then they're going to always give you money to get something great.
In terms of once somebody gets onto a list of yours, email people often or not very often?
Well, that's really dependent on the individual, I think. So the most important thing for everybody listening is the decision you make at the beginning of the relationship. So if it's how you want to train them, like it's not just training them, giving them good value, but if you're going to be sending emails every single day, then you better do it from the beginning. If you choose to send three times a week or once a week, you want to be careful with that, especially on once a week. Be very careful with that. If you train people, and I've seen this happen before with clients where they're like, you know what, I'm not going to mail every day like you do. Matt, what I'm going to do is I'm going to mail once a week. I'm going to mail every Wednesday. If you miss a Wednesday, they're going to get upset with you. If you change your behavior a little bit after they've been trained a certain way, it could cause some issues. So realize that when you are going on, it's how, you know, it's what you choose to do. Now, I will say this for everybody listening. I mean, there is such thing as an opportunity cost, right? And there's also another thing, two things really, is opportunity cost and subscribers expire. My point is twofold. One, let's go with the expiration, you know, thing is, so most people don't realize, depending on the market that people are in, like, you know, if for example, if you're building a list of people that are looking for a quick fix on something, maybe it's, you know, I usually tell people, look for bleeding necks. Like somebody has a bleeding neck, they get it fixed, they don't need you anymore. So they're going to go away. And I'm using that as an example, but they're going to go away. So that the life of that is very short. Every market has, people don't realize this, but there is an expiration date. You know, the average subscriber is going to leave. Now in, like, for example, the internet marketing space, we have 3 months. It's all we have. And, you know, a lot of times, and then there's going to be some people that stay around, but really people get inspired. People are like, oh, I want to go online. I want to go make money. And then within 3 months, after 3 months, the list will start, those subscribers will start dropping off because it kind of like there's an expiration date. You know, you'll have the loyal ones that are always be around and, you know, the continuously learners and stuff like that. But so that's something to take in consideration. Every market, every niche is different and the expiration date is different, which brings me back to the first point of, you know, the concept of opportunity costs. So if we know we only have a 30-day or a 60-day or a 90-day window, you know, if we let it lapse too long, we're missing. There's huge opportunity costs. And every day that we don't mail is every day that we're going to miss out on money. Just like, you know, if anybody's ever stayed at a hotel, if that hotel does not get full or if the room doesn't get full that night, they missed out on the opportunity to fill it. So they're never going to get that. There's no way to go backwards to get that income. Well, every day, 24 hours, you know, I mean, there's a 24-hour window on that. So, you know, I've never said it that way, but it's really, you know, opportunity costs sometimes. But here's a third point to actually bring up that's really important for people to realize. The moment somebody actually does sign up is the moment they're the hottest, usually. The moment somebody buys from you is the moment they're the hottest. And I always, you know, jokingly say when a buyer's in heat and a buyer's in heat, you know, and so get them when they're in heat, kind of like dogs have windows of heat, not trying to compare people and dogs. But the point is there's only a certain window of opportunity there. And if you let that window of opportunity disappear, you may never get it back. So the beginning of the relationship is really important, and even, you know, making things happen. I always tell people, like, heck, you know, one of the great, you know, great things to do is especially even in your first message, you know, if you promise them an X widget, give them X widget or X report or whatever it is. But then also in the PS say, hey, by the way, people who download this also buy this. Like, that's a sneaky little trick that anybody could do to instantly say, hey, you're here to get something for free, but I'm also here to make money. So you're kind of, you know, providing both things. And that's like, I mean, I stole that trick from Amazon. But my point is, Amazon does it all the time. But my big point is you've got to take advantage of the opportunity. Because even at that first message, out of all messages, that first message is the most important message of everything, because that's the moment that, the first message is either the first message they get after they buy and the first message they get after they subscribe. Either one, it doesn't matter which people decide which way they're going to play. So when somebody buys, you know, then it's, hey, people who buy this also buy this, you know, or it's, hey, when somebody downloads this also, you know, buys this, that's a good way. But at that moment, they are looking for that email. At that moment, they're hot, they're hungry, and they're ready to go. And if you let the thing get cold, you know, cold off that, you know, that it gets cold, then you're really losing out on an opportunity.
And it's people being in that yes mode that are easy to influence. You mentioned Amazon do this, and I can say from my own experience, the number of times I bought something on Amazon, then seen this array of other options in front of me, and I thought, oh, yes, I'll have that. So it works almost without pressure. It's so subtle. Matt, you are the king of finding the sweet spot and testing. When did you learn that, we'll call it a science, in persuasion?
Well, the persuasion's one thing, testing's another. But, you know, early on when I first started, I always wanted to study. I'll say this, early on, I started realizing the people that were making more money than me really had three things. They're better copywriters or storytellers. They had big ticket items, and they also had continuity. Those are the three things. And then the one commonality of all of them at the time was they all had email lists. So that's really kind of combined all three. But the point to answer your question is, it comes back to the beginning. I studied copywriters. I studied them hard. I still do. Actually, it's only events I actually go to attend. I speak at a lot of events, but when I go to attend, when it's about copywriting. I never will stop learning that skill. Even though I just created a product about it. But I say that because I will never stop learning that. I can always get better and better when it comes to copy, because I know it's the one thing you could take everything away from me. I can just write some copy. I can write my way out. Like, kind of like the Beatles. There was an old saying, I think it was like with the Beatles, like, hey, we'll just write ourselves a new swimming pool. You know, I could write myself a new plane. I've done it before. I really bought a plane because I wrote some copy. And of course I used it, but with good copy, you can create great sales. So the persuasion was something that I realized and I studied early on, and I'm continuously studying. But the testing came at a different time. It was probably, I've been doing this for 22, 25 years. Halfway through this span of my life, the marketing, internet marketing side of my life, I will probably say it's in the middle. And it was when, you know, cause it wasn't always, things aren't always rosy, you know, it was in a down where, I went through some stuff and pretty much everything kind of disappeared. I don't want to get in that story, but I will say that I started from scratch. I call it the recycle. So I recycled, and in the middle of the recycling of my life or in my business, I was in a point where I didn't have money. I was at a point that, well, I did have credit. I did have credit cards. And I said, how am I going to squeeze as much as I can out of this? I knew I needed to build a list. I knew I needed to do this again. And how can I squeeze as much as I can? And there was only so much money I had to get traffic. And there was only so much traffic I could go to the page. So I was like, how can I squeeze more? And so I started testing. And when I started doing that, I started seeing that there was a radical difference in this. And I look back on my half of it, my 12 years before, and I said, if I would have only done this 12 years ago, I would be in a lot better place than I am today, or would have been a lot better place the whole time. So I started testing and testing and testing, and then it became a habit. And now I test every single day. I won't actually, if I don't test, I feel weird, just because it's so ingrained in me that I got to test, because the, you know, the difference between 1% and 10%, the difference between, you know, 10% and 30% is really big. You know, in fact, I've got one page right now is doing about 89%. Now, you know, people usually are happy with 30%. And so, you know, the max is 100%, right? But, and I know I'll never get there, but I always aim for it, right? It's kind of like an ideal. So I'm always aiming to see how good I can get it to make things happen. But it happened at a point where it was kind of a, you know, I had to do something. I had to do something, and I needed to get as turn lemons to lemonade even faster.
Now, I'm going to just explain, Matt, for the benefit of the newbies who will be listening to this internet podcast, how split testing works. And you can divide the traffic to a single website to the left and to the right, we'll say. And just for example, there might be a red buy button on one side and a green buy button on the other side. For whatever reason, one of those buttons will perform better than the other. And the process is that when Matt split tests, it might be some words in the copy or it might be a button. The side which has the highest sales will be the side that persists, and you'll kill the other side. And then you'll try something else, another variation.
I mean, that's a good example from a basic example. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big thing just to let everybody know is doesn't matter what you're doing. Don't get emotionally attached to it. You know, you get emotionally attached to people, but you don't going to get emotionally attached to pages. So I want to say that from a perspective of pages, a page could be erased, it could be removed, it could be changed. And the point when people make the biggest mistakes in their career, I think, and the biggest mistakes, and even their bank account will show this, is the moment they're emotionally attached to something that they've created or something. Because the reason I bring that up is because through all my testing, and I've done over 8,000 email split test rounds, and you know, what I think will work doesn't work, and what I think won't work does work. And I realize it's so counterintuitive. And I say that to a lot of people. But here's one thing I also want to say that I learned from split testing. If you don't do anything, you're never going to make anything happen anyway. So you got to do something, whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. Because even if you're wrong, a lot of times just by doing, you're still right.
Understand that. So you teach yourself a daily lesson every day. And in Matt Basak's world, perfection is the one that works the best. You don't have to be tied up in thinking, oh, that's marvelous prose. The decision is based on this works better than that.
Well, the real decision is based on this made me more money than that. But yeah.
Matt, tell me something about your list building club, because there are people who want to learn skills and improve their skills and build a list for themselves. How does the list building club work?
Yeah, well, thanks. I didn't know you were going to ask me that, but I would say that, so it's not even a shameless promotion. So I do have list building clubs over at Facebook, and it's a private group. So you'd have to search for the list building club. And I go in there, I try to go in there every single, you know, week and do a live video. There's communication back and forth. People have problems when it comes to list building. People have questions when it comes to list building. People, or watching what other people are reading or writing and asking. And there's a lot of marketers. We got about 20 over right now. We have over 20,000 people in there, and most of them, it scales from, it moves from newbies all the way up to the most advanced. And people are there to help each other. That was kind of the goal of the community, and provide value to each other so that they can all grow their list. And so, I mean, that's kind of the gist of it. It's a private group that nobody can get into unless they, you have to submit in a couple of questions. You guys all, be fine. But, other than that, then we just approve you and off you go. The only thing was, we just say, you can't go in there and promote a bunch of stuff that doesn't make sense. But it's about if it doesn't have anything to do with email, if it doesn't have to do with email marketing, if it doesn't have to do with list building, then it doesn't belong there.
Matt, I've seen your old house near Atlanta, and without question, you're a hugely successful person. Some people might think when they reach your level, let's retire, let's give up now. But I know you're an extremely generous person on passing on your skills and wanting to see success in other people. So why do you keep on going? Why do you keep on going? What drives you every day?
I don't really work. I love this stuff. So I love marketing. I love everything about it. I didn't really come to that conclusion until a couple of years ago. You know, it really, I do enjoy it so much. In fact, we had our 20 something year high school reunion, and somebody posted in our little group from all my friends from high school. We did it a couple of years ago, but all kid friends from high school, they all posted, and somebody posted a picture of a newsletter from high school, and all the seniors at the time submitted in things like, what is their favorite class? And I wrote marketing. I didn't even know that back then. I fell in love with marketing way back then. And I did read a lot of marketing. I got a marketing degree. But I absolutely love everything about it. Understanding, you know, what gets people to tick. Because it's more also marketing is a piece of psychology and also math. And the cool thing is the math doesn't have to be calculus. It's a matter of, you know, did this make me more money than this? It's not that hard. You know, what number is bigger? This one put more money in my pocket. This one didn't. Therefore, there's the answer. So it's not that hard math, but it is. It is from there. So. But I love it. I mean, but for me too, is the fact that I do make, when I'm testing and I do stuff, it's a game to me. So every day I'm playing a new game with myself, to see if I can beat myself, see if I, you know, how smart I am to myself. And I don't care if I'm dumb, if I make a mistake or not, because I know in the end I'm going to win. So I always win the game no matter what, even though I might lose what I think is going to lose. So, that's fun. And then, but for me too, is also, there's another side to it. It is, you know, being able to see others, watch others grow. I mean, I will tell you, like, the coolest thing that's happening for me right now, and I was just sharing this with somebody yesterday, like, people are going through my stuff. And I have a new thing at the EPC Institute, and people are going through my stuff. We get, on an average a week, we probably get 2 to 3 things sent to us as gifts. A non-solicitation. People are just sending us gifts. Actually, we just got a $400. Somebody just sent me a $400 juicer. And it's like, thank you for everything. You know, and it's like, it's crazy. I just got a fountain pen. I just got somebody else sent me another. They know I write notes to my high-end clients. I write letters to them. So I got a high-end pen. I got an astronaut pen. I mean, people were sending me stuff, but that's, I don't care about that. But what I do care about is things I'm doing are changing people's lives. And that matters a lot to me. And I love it. And seeing more and more just the raving reviews that are coming back because of, you know, me just opening up and sharing my data and sharing what I know to be true. At this moment, because, you know, what I learned with my data is it might be true at this moment, but things could change. So, but what I know at this moment is it's really cool.
Now, some people may say that you hit the ground at just the right time and you built your business. And for the benefit of those people who think, well, could I do the same thing? Can you still go on the internet and sell internet marketing? And can you still make a fortune? Is that possible?
I think it's more possible than it was when I started. You know, just if you look around you on the market right now, you know, when I started, there was no such thing as an affiliate program. When I started, there was no autoresponders. When I started, there was nothing we have today that was created by people like me. In the early days, like, there was no opt-in page. There was no Facebook. There was no Twitter. There was no, what else we got today? You know, there was none of that. You know, there was no YouTube. You know, there was nothing. And so I say that because we had to get really creative. You know, yes, we were, you know, some of us are early, you know, like me, but the thing is, the tools, the success stories, the models we can model today are so much better. I'm seeing, you know, when I remember, you know, early when I first started, if you just make $10,000, you know, a month, like, people are like, oh my God, you're like, you know, it's amazing. Today, like, I'm seeing people just starting out, going from nothing to making millions in a really short period of time. And the reason is because there's people that have, like me and others, that have gone before them and kind of paved the path and saying, hey, here's what to do. You know, just follow and model this. And people are doing it. They're following instruction. I think it's a real good thing. They're following the instruction properly. And, you know, they're just following instruction, really. And they're going out there. But with the tools and the leverage that we have today, oh, it's 1,000 times. I mean, the opportunities, you know, or there's an unlimited amount of opportunity for everybody.
Matt, what is the biggest thing that seems to trip up newbies at the very start of their progress towards success, something undoes them. What do you see as the biggest fault that people have?
There's a couple that popped in my head, and I'll kind of list them out. I think one, they're overthinking and not following instruction. So it's like, oh, I think I'm smarter than them. So that's kind of all together as one. You know, it's like, no, like, look, follow instruction and just do it. And just, you know, I tell everybody, like, a lot of times, especially, and I hate to say this, but the more educated somebody is, the more they're looking for the reasons why things won't work. And instead of saying, hey, you know, having faith in the thing, you know, whatever they're doing, and saying, hey, this will work, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. Like, that type of person, and they come in with more of a, you know, we would call it in America, high school dropout, you know, attitude, where it's like, hey, you know, like, they're not, they just say, they tell you, you tell them, hey, behind that tree, dig up behind that tree right there, and you're going to find a pot of gold. They'll just go dig up behind that tree. You tell, you know, somebody else, you know, they'll go, you say, dig up. And I've seen this. I'm like, go over there and dig behind that tree. There's a pot of gold. And they'll run over like somewhere else. And you're like, it's right there behind the thing. So, you know, it's like, I mean, so it's following instruction, you know, and having faith, and, you know, and I think, you know, it's huge.
Matt, it has been fantastic. You've spent your time with us today and passed on so many tips to the Internet Marketing Podcast, and I really thank you for your time and being with us.
Oh, yeah. No, thanks for having me.
I'm Gavin McCoy, and thank you for listening to the Internet Marketing Podcast. Join me in a month's time for the next edition.
Thank you for listening. To keep up to date with all things Marketing Bugle podcast, join my free email updates, which includes a regular downloadable magazine to help you with your business marketing online. Visit martinbrown.com. That's Martin with a Y.